Do you have an upcoming community event that you'd like to spread the word about? Well, look no further. Introducing the all-new Community Calendar, your go-to platform for promoting local events. It's a collaborative effort between the Sheridan County Chamber of Commerce, Sheridan Travel and Tourism, the Sheridan Press, and Sheridan Media, a comprehensive, all-new inclusive calendar specifically tailored for our area and serving as the go-to resource for all events. Whether it's a fundraiser, a festival, community gathering, we've got you covered. And sharing your event is easier than ever. Go to SheridanMedia.com or any of our other partners, click on our events tab, and submit your community event today to be part of our vibrant community scene. Now, don't wait. Get your event up and on now so everyone can make plans to attend. It's an all-new Community Calendar, a presentation of the Sheridan County Chamber of Commerce, Sheridan Travel and Tourism, the Sheridan Press, and Sheridan Media.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whitey.
Good morning and welcome to Public Pulse. This morning, my guests are the executive director of the Jim Getchell Memorial Museum, Sylvia Bruner.
Good morning.
And Sheridan Community Land Trust History Program Manager, Kevin Knapp.
Hi.
And the director of marketing and development, Mr. Chris Verba.
Great morning, Floyd.
How are you guys doing? I'm doing great. The rain has stopped, but the wind persists. I really wish that the rain had kept coming and the wind stopped. But
now, Floyd, you said that four-letter word.
Oh, it's terrible.
Remember, it is just W. You cannot conjure the rest of it. This is not Beetlejuice. We are not trying to bring it in, but that rain, it sure can stay because we're still in drought.
When it comes to the rain, I think the season's just beginning, but they can keep the wind. Sylvia, how have you been, my friend?
Profanities on the radio.
How you doing?
I'm doing well. Doing well.
How's everything going at the museum? How's your construction going along?
I was pretty geeked out about this. So phase one of the construction on the Carnegie building kind of ended last fall with one missing piece. They weren't able to cut into the concrete sidewalk in front of the building and install a drain, which I know none of this is really glamorous, but it makes me really excited because the building, the way it faces, the concrete apron, the drainage system, we've had a lot of water issues with water migrating through the basement bathrooms and causing those bathroom walls to fall apart. And there's not a lot of point in trying to fix the wall until you get that water to stop coming through your building. So the drain is going to be a huge help in that. So it goes right across the bottom of the steps, and then it kind of punts it out into the yard into a pit that they dug. So yesterday when there was a bit of
a break?
Gale, yeah. I was out there with my phone and my umbrella recording water rushing through a drain, and my staff was laughing at me. But it was really satisfying.
But at the same time, I mean, if this is an issue that you've dealt with since you got there, watching it
not
solved
be an issue
is kind of a big deal, right?
For sure.
And how many times have you had to replace that wall? Once?
We haven't yet. So the building is still original. It's the 1909 Carnegie Library building. It's got a rubble foundation. So like it sounds, pieces of the stones that were used in the construction were kind of encased for the foundation and the wall. Still has some of that original limestone mortar, but as the water comes through, it's causing all that to kind of chemically fall apart.
Get a little closer to that mic for me. Thank you.
Okay.
No, you're okay.
So we haven't had to replace it yet, and we're hoping that by the work that we're doing, the preventative and the repair, that doesn't have to ever be replaced.
Yeah.
So phase two of the Carnegie work is hopefully going to begin mid-June. And he's going to pick up. He is contractor, Scott Loken, Loken Historic Preservation. They do fantastic work. So they'll pick up from the northeast corner, the cornerstone where they ended, and they'll go around the north side of the building, which is the semicircular, I forget the architectural name for it. But they'll go over that almost third of the building this summer.
And when is all of it planned to be finished up 100%?
Hopefully next year, but all of that is contingent on funding.
Okay. And are you taking donations or anything
always.
At this point?
We will always take your money through about any kind of manner possible. You can do it on the website digitally. We'll take a check. We'll take cash. Yeah. We've got the funding in place for this portion. It's been kind of chopped into thirds, and each third is about $200,000, which, by the way, is like more than half of my annual operating budget. Yeah. So it's a lot of money in our world.
It absolutely is. I mean, that's a lot of money in anyone's world. But over there, my goodness,
yeah.
That's an incredible amount of money. Now, let's talk about your summer hours that are going to be taking effect here pretty soon so folks can get in there. What's the big change?
Well, the change in hours, that starts Memorial Day. We basically go Memorial Day through Labor Day. And that during that time period, we're open Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5, Sundays, noon to 5. During the rest of the year, we have reduced hours because we have reduced staff. So
now I know that you ladies over there that run that operation have done a lot of work down in the exhibit room. What has changed?
So some of the changes are very small, but also have a big impact. We had a tour group last summer, I think. They came through and they were low vision folks, and they gave us a review on what we did well and what we needed to do better with. And a lot of their information was kind of common sense stuff that we just hadn't put together. Like, don't use gray paper, use white paper because the contrast is easier. Enlarge the font a little, use sans serif fonts so they don't have all the little extra fancy dashes and things, you know? So when we were closed in February to the public, a lot of labels were pulled off, redone, reformatted, put into just an easier to see and kind of comprehend style. You know, budgetary restrictions, we're not flush with money, so it's not like we can have an audio kiosk at every corner, but that is on the list. So maybe we'll go after a grant at some point and try and incorporate more audio tours and maybe other languages for our foreign visitors too. So we always have kind of the bigger goals up high and then the smaller things of like, what can we actually tackle right now in-house.
Tell me about Spark.
So Spark is a traveling exhibit from the Smithsonian Institution.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we're pretty excited. And we actually have like three Smithsonian things going on this year, and it all just happened at once. It wasn't planned. But Spark, we were chosen by Wyoming Humanities as a host site. So they're actually paying for it, and they're arranging for it to travel through Wyoming. It'll have 4 or 5 different host museums. So it's called Spark Places of Innovation, and it's the temporary exhibit physically that goes from place to place. But then each place needs to have some kind of program that accompanies it. And Jen, our educator, is really spearheading this, but right now we're talking about maybe a program that covers patents and innovations that have occurred within Johnson County in the past. Like, I know there was an overshot haystacker that was patented in the 1800s, and it would be kind of cool to, we have the paperwork for that, pull that out and display that kind of thing. So still all in the planning stages for programs, but the actual exhibit will be on site August 23rd through October 8th.
Now, another one, Why We Serve. Native Americans and the United States Armed Forces. Tell me about that.
That's another Smithsonian traveling exhibit. The topic obviously fits our region very well. And it was actually an exhibit that I think all three of us saw when we were in Washington, D.C. last summer. So then learning that, oh, hey, it's a traveling option. Maybe we could have this come through. We applied for money from the 1% grants with Johnson County to actually pay for this because it costs about $3,500, and that was approved recently. So thank you, Johnson County. That one will be September 21st through November 29th. And I think it's interesting because Native Americans have like the highest statistics of military service per capita. And learning about why that is, I think, is going to be fascinating. And again, we're talking about some programming and bringing in some of our regional friends, Native American contacts, relations, and have them present and actually kind of give us a little direction on why does this matter to them? Why is service in the United States military important?
Now, you said all of this kind of came together on its own.
It did, yeah. So Wyoming Humanities put out the information about Spark. We applied, we got selected. Why We Serve, Smithsonian sends out information about some of their exhibits, and we thought, hey, we want to try and get that one. Well, initially we were denied because they had already booked it out. And then we got an email from their program manager, and she's like, somebody backed out and canceled. It's now available during this time period. Do you still want it? And we're like, yes, we do. And currently we have a poster exhibit up that was a little free exhibit from the Smithsonian. They'll do this sometimes where you can just like download the posters or get some printed materials from them at no cost. And we mounted and put that up in February also, and it's called The Bias Inside Us. The really fun thing about this, because it's kind of a, you know, it's an introspective sort of thing. It's asking you as a viewer to consider, do you have bias within yourself? And how do you deal with that? Do you acknowledge it? Blah, blah, blah. But the fun thing for us is that we got a sociology class from New West High School to come over when we were first working on it. And they gave us some kind of feedback about what they thought we could do to add to the exhibit. And then once it was done, they came back and reviewed it. And we got a, it's good. And I love that from high schoolers. Like, that's a kind of a five-star review.
Gave you the thumbs up, huh?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. How amazing is that? Now, one a big thing that's going to happen here coming up, and there's been a lot of individuals that have moved in, and maybe some people have even grown up around here and they just don't know the story.
Yeah.
Why is Bomber Mountain called Bomber Mountain?
Because a B-17 bomber airplane crashed there in 1943.
And it's an absolutely heartbreaking story.
It is.
But it is a part of history, and it's a part of World War II history right here. What happened?
Well, the Reader's Digest condensed version, there was a crew of 10 very young men who were being sent to Europe for bombing missions. So World War II, by June of 1943, when they went missing, it was June 28th, bombing missions, particularly for the B-17, they were in full force, and the United States was losing men and aircraft left and right. They were conducting daytime bombing raids while the British RAF forces were conducting nighttime bombing raids, trying to keep this just perpetual kind of assault going. But as you can imagine, daytime raids had a huge drawback in the fact that you could be seen.
Yeah.
So the United States Army Air Corps was churning out new crews and new aircraft and sending them over as fast as they could, and too fast. Personally, my belief of, if you want to try to peg down what was the reason that this airplane crashed, it was that they did not have enough seat time. They just simply didn't have enough training.
Yeah.
We know that at least one of the crew members skipped a whole phase of training. There were only three phases. So you're skipping a third of your training, and you're being told, tough luck, man, like you're going over. So we know that the training was being very condensed and rushed.
And they kind of got lost while they were flying.
They were off course. They were delayed by 10 minutes. Why? Nobody seems to know. They were supposed to take off from Pendleton, Oregon. Sorry, forgot my states for a second there.
I know that city well.
Do you?
I do.
I have never been there.
Yeah.
So they had flown the plane themselves, that crew of 10, from Walla Walla, Washington to Pendleton, where they met up with another B-17 and crew, and they were supposed to fly in a formation of two. And for some reason, our guys didn't take off on time. They were 10 minutes delayed. The other crew made it to Grand Island, Nebraska, which was their destination for a stopover, and our guys never made it. So they were declared missing immediately once the Army realized they weren't there. Searches were conducted unsuccessfully. You also have to keep in mind that's a pretty long flight, a lot of area to cover. Did they know exactly when, where they went missing? No. They had received a radio report from Casper Army Air Base, so they were kind of suspicious that it happened in Wyoming, but they were substantially off course. Should not have been over the Bighorn Mountains. They should have been much closer to Casper.
Wow. So, and that is so wide. I mean, where do you even start?
Right.
That's needle in the haystack.
It is. And I've never flown over the crash site myself, but I had a past coworker who did, and he took a bunch of photos for me, and you can't see a darn thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a massive boulder field. And I think for folks that are listening, if you're picturing an aircraft, you know what a B-17 looks like, and that's in your brain, get that out of your brain. It doesn't look anything like that. It is little bitty bits and pieces scattered over a massive debris field of boulders.
Because when they hit the mountain,
it was catastrophic.
Yeah. And so you wouldn't even know. I mean, like you said, you know, during a time when we didn't have the resources to go out there and search for these individuals, probably. And B, what you're looking for looks nothing.
No.
Like what you think you should be looking for.
And even, you know, the aircraft was the typical paint scheme of the time for a B-17. It had an OD green top and the bottom was silver. It wasn't like super shiny chrome, you know, something. It just...
Like a dead metal.
Yeah, it was not going to be easy to see, to find.
Now, how many souls were lost?
Ten. The oldest was 25.
That was the oldest.
Yep, he was the flight engineer. He was 25.
That is heartbreaking.
They were just kids.
Now, there's going to be a program about this. The Flyboys of Bomber Mountain. How can we learn more? How can we attend this program?
Well,
I can tell you about that, Floyd. We will be having the first at the Hub on the 14th at 10 a.m. And then the second one is the 21st at the Tongue River Valley Community Center at 10:30 a.m.
Now, Kevin, will we be exploring who these individuals were, their history, maybe get to know them a little bit?
Well, I'm relying wholly on Sylvia for that sort of stuff. This is one of those where I get to kind of just sit back and learn along with everybody else.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, I mean, it's a heartbreaking story, but it's a fascinating tale.
It is. And the answer to that question is yes, because those 10 guys are the reason that it's important in my world anyway. You know, they all had their lives cut so short that, you know, the older I get, the more poignant it seems to me, especially when I look at my boys and I'm like, wait a second.
Holy cow.
They were just, they were so young. Some of them were married. Some had kids. Who would they have become if they hadn't died? So that is kind of my focal point is them, the crew, the men.
Now, for folks who may not know, it was a shepherd who found the plane years later, correct?
Yeah, it was members of the Paint Rock Cattle Association.
Okay, so it was cattle.
They were up conducting a roundup.
Okay.
And 2 years later, 1945.
One more time. When can we learn more, Kevin?
On May 14th at the Hub, 10 o'clock a.m., and at the Tongue River Valley Community Center on the 21st at 10:30 a.m.
It's a heartbreaking tale, folks, but it is a fascinating one, and it is a huge piece of local history, an entire mountain named after these guys.
Yep.
And, you know, I think about walking up there, going up there, because it is kind of like it's a gravesite.
It is.
That's how I look at
Me
it.
Me too.
The planes, their parts are still up there. If anyone decides to go up there and visit it, leave it right where it is.
Yes.
Please. In honor and memory of these individuals. On that, I've got to take a quick commercial break. We'll have more with the Jim Getchell Memorial Museum and Sheridan Community Land Trust right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
For a busy summer tourism season, be prepared for extra business with First Federal Bank and Trust Cash Management Solutions. Our local cash management experts will help you streamline your cash flow and minimize risk so you can focus on delivering exceptional service to your customers. Visit efirstfederal.bank to contact our cash management team today. Make this summer your best yet with the help of First Federal Bank and Trust, Sheridan's only mutual bank, member FDIC.
Hi, this is Brad at PrimeRank Motors, where we are looking to buy your clean used vehicles, tractors, ATVs, and much more. We will also downtrade and do appraisals. Here at PrimeRank Motors, we are a full-service dealership offering quality used cars, trucks, and SUVs. Our Super Trailer Store features a wide variety of stock, utility, and cargo trailers. PrimeRank Motors has been making customers happy for decades. See us today at 2305 Coffin Avenue in Sheridan or online at PrimeRankMotors.com.
The following message presented by First Federal Bank and Trust, Sheridan's only mutual bank. Visit efirstfederal.bank.
Hi, I'm Lydia.
I'm Lindsay.
I'm Emmy.
We are proudly representing the Bighorn High School Theater Department. Our team has the opportunity to travel to Indiana to compete at the National Thespian Festival in June, and we are seeking funding to help us get there.
If you are able to help, please send any donations to Bighorn High School. If you have any questions, please call 674-8190.
Thank you so much for your consideration. We are looking forward to representing the Sheridan and Bighorn communities on the national stage.
This Mother's Day, prepare to get lost in the mystical treasures of Landon's Greenhouse during the Landon's Greenhouse and Nursery Mother's Day Sweepstakes. Sign up for this contest for a chance to win a $250 gift card to Landon's and embark on an adventure unlike any other. Landon's Greenhouse invites you to step into a world where every plant whispers ancient secrets and every flower holds untold power. How do you take this journey? Enter the Landon's Greenhouse and Nursery Sweepstakes on the contest page at SharedMedia.com.
Back to Public Pulse. I'm Floyd Whiting, and this morning I'm speaking with the executive director of the Jim Getchell Memorial Museum, Sylvia Bruner, and Sheridan Community Land Trust History Program Manager, Kevin Knapp, and our director of marketing and development, Mr. Chris Verba. Now, in the first segment, we spoke on the Flyboys of Bomber Mountain and how you can view that program. If you missed it, this program, Sheridan Media's Public Pulse, will be uploaded on SheridanMedia.com later today. Get your details. I will be writing a story on it so that you don't miss it. This is a great piece of U.S. military history right here in Sheridan and Johnson counties. Now, another great piece of U.S. military history that has strong local ties is the story of the Iron Riders. Kevin, you and I have talked about this in the past, but for those who didn't happen to hear it, who are these individuals and what great feat did they accomplish?
So the Iron Riders is a popular name for what was the 25th Infantry Bicycle Corps that was formed from soldiers at Fort Missoula in the late 19th century. And they were specifically 20 Buffalo soldiers accompanied by their lieutenant and a surgeon and a journalist who in 1897 left Fort Missoula in summertime, you know, crossed the Continental Divide and went all the way to St. Louis in 41 days. It's a 1,900-mile trip before any roads, wagon roads and railroads were.
Riding on probably iron bikes.
Yeah, 60-pound iron-framed bicycles. It's the prototype for what we know of as a mountain bike, basically. So they're kind of credited with inventing mountain biking at that moment.
And the entire idea, essentially, was the U.S. military trying to figure out if the bicycle was a viable piece of wartime equipment, right?
Yeah, and it seems odd to us now, you know, in the age of, you know, space travel. But it was seen as being superior to a horse for movement of troops for a lot of reasons. It's, you know, you can't kill a bike. You don't have to feed it. There's a lot of reasons why they thought that might be a good step.
And you don't got to smell them if you fall behind them.
They can't dump you and run away.
That's right. Yeah, you own mules, huh?
And a horse. It's the horse who's the troublemaker. Yeah.
Now, when it comes to what they decided eventually, obviously, this is not something that was conducive to their plans going forward. But whatever happened, I guess that's a question I've never asked you, Kevin. Whatever happened to the Buffalo soldiers once this great feat was accomplished?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. They were soldiers, and Buffalo soldiers in particular got some pretty hard duties. And so it was just one more thing that they accomplished. What really happened was, honestly, it feels like in the 41 days they were traveling, the military changed their mind and had already started to look forward towards mechanized vehicles.
Yeah.
And then the Spanish-American War and the Philippines happened, and the 25th was the first deployed and everything. So by the time they came back, they'd missed their chance to continue with these experiments. And already they started using trucks, like in the campaigns against like Geronimo in the Southwest, there was already vehicles being used.
Yeah. Once they realized, hey, I can move 45 of them at one time instead of one per bike, everything kind of switched.
Yeah.
And, well, I will say, thankfully so. I just don't see the bike as a conducive piece of military equipment outside of recreation. Now, you guys actually have a tour. Does this tour touch on locations, stories?
Yeah, so it's an interesting tour because most of our GPS tours we've done before do act like a normal tour. Look to your left, you see the water tower. Look to your right, you see a bridge. This one doesn't have that many, you know, on the ground reminders. So we really are trying to be evocative and talk about the people and their experience and try and put you in their mindset. So it's that's what I worked really hard on with this tour, was trying to capture your imagination.
And I think that's fantastic, because to me, that's history. The human experience throughout these events, mm-hmm. and the trials and tribulations, mm-hmm. and the things that you overcome. I really do feel like, you know, that's when I get that fuzzy feeling, yes. in my chest, yeah. you know, when it's like, man, facing all these odds, mm-hmm. facing such a daunting task, and yet overcoming it. It's yeah. the human spirit, and yeah. it's absolutely beautiful. So great job on that. Because also, that's going to keep people coming back, isn't it?
Yeah. Yes, sir. That's the idea, is that this is available anytime, right? You know, this isn't just a one-time event. We're unveiling it, but then anytime a person can go out there with their app and have a self-guided experience.
Now, super cool. Oh, it's absolutely amazing. Tell me why a ranger from Missouri State Parks is going to be in attendance.
Okay, so that's Kevin Smith, and, you know, all of this research kind of came about and was popularized 2 years ago when the 125th anniversary of the event was celebrated by Fort Missoula and Missouri State Parks. And Kevin Smith actually had seen some research done by a high school teacher here in Wyoming that he was putting up on a blog detailing the daily events of this route, and contacted him and started to try and make an exhibit for the 125th celebration. And it just took off. He ever since has just been he's an interpretive ranger, and it's his job to interpret history. And that's been his focus for 3 years now, because it was just such a captivating thing. He's gone and opened the National Buffalo Soldiers Museum down in Dallas or Houston. You know, he teaches in classrooms about the Iron Riders. So he's Mr. Iron Riders. And I just kind of happened to reach out to him as a contact to ask him a few questions. And the next thing I know, he's inviting all of his buddies and everybody. He's a member of the 10th Cavalry Buffalo Soldiers Association. And so they're a really networked, active group of individuals, and they're really excited. And so it kind of blossomed and got a lot of
that's fantastic.
A shot in the arm.
Well, and that's how great things really kind of come together, yeah. isn't it? One little thing, and all of a sudden, all the great pieces start falling into place.
Yeah.
Tell me about kind of the unveiling of this tour.
Yeah, so we're really excited to be working with the Sheridan Inn, which we hold a historic preservation easement on. And so that's a part of how we try and honor that history, by celebrating it and telling that story. So it's really great to be able to have it there. The tour starts at the Sheridan Inn and goes to Claremont. So that's why we're holding it there, because the Iron Riders stopped at the Sheridan Inn one day as they were traveling from Parkman to Wyarno. They had lunch there. Well, the three white guys went inside and had fine dining.
Yeah.
And so we're trying to, we're offering a discount on rooms to any of the, Buffalo Soldier Association guys who show up, but most of them are going to choose to be at the Best Western instead, in order to really, enjoy themselves. And then that day we will, have some speeches. You know, Kevin Smith will talk. He's the narrator for the piece as well. We have a couple of actors that are actually, instead of just having one narrator talk through this whole thing, we decided to do more of a Ken Burns style sort of thing and have voice actors do letters and journals and stuff like that. So those guys will be there, and they'll do a little reading just to demonstrate for people how it sounds. We'll have a projector set up to show them, to show anyone who wants to do the tour, like kind of how it works. We'll show the website and the layout and how you would use the app. Bobby McDonald, he's the head of the Greater Los Angeles Area 10th Cavalry Buffalo Soldiers. He'll be there in full uniform. I think Kevin Smith will be in uniform as well, of what the Iron Riders would have been wearing. They'll have at least one replica bike that they'll fly in that's heavy and you can lift it. We were originally going to have them pedal off, but Bobby's 77 years old, and it's against doctor's orders right now to ride that thing. So it'll be more like they're available to talk and answer questions and take photographs, that sort of thing.
And those uniforms, man, I can only imagine, probably 100% cotton around that time. Or wool. Yeah, you're right, Civ. It could have been wool too. That would have been miserable.
Yeah, wool, I think.
I'm thinking.
Oh, that would have hurt. That would have been miserable. When and where do I have to be?
Okay, so that's June 19th at 2 p.m. on the lawn of the Sheridan Inn.
And we don't need tickets. We can just show up.
Yes, please. Totally free. We will have limited chairs. You know, it's hard to guess. We hope there's so many people. You're all on blankets on the lawn.
It does help if you RSVP from a planning standpoint.
Yes.
So you can do that right on our website, and that's SheridanCLT, like communitylandtrust.org. Go right to the events tab, and you'll be able to see that event along with the Flyboys of Bomber Mountain coming up next week and on the 14th and the 21st, as well as, boy, Floyd, we got a whole lot of fun summer coming. But you know what? We'll talk about some of that later. For now, let's keep our focus on some Iron Riders.
And I should just mention that we've just kind of had it come together that, you know, that we know that's in the workday for people. So we also have another thing at the YO later at 6:30. We're going to show a couple of short films, one on the history of the Buffalo Soldiers themselves, another on just the background of the Iron Riders. And then there's kind of a third one that Bobby and his folks put together called The Ride Continues about that 125th celebration and all of the things. There was one guy, Eric Cedeno, they called him the Bicycle Nomad, who actually did the entire route. And so there's footage of that in that. So
that's fantastic. All right. Well, I've run out of time with you guys. Sylvia, it was great to see you, my friend. Thank you for making that drive all the way over.
I'm going to be making it next Tuesday and the Tuesday after.
Kevin, it's always a pleasure, my friend. And Chris, you're going to hang out with me a little bit here. When we come back, we're going to be speaking with Science Kids. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
For a busy summer tourism season, be prepared for extra business with First Federal Bank and Trust Cash Management Solutions. Our local cash management experts will help you streamline your cash flow and minimize risk so you can focus on delivering exceptional service to your customers. Visit efirstfederal.bank to contact our cash management team today. Make this summer your best yet with the help of First Federal Bank and Trust, Sheridan's only mutual bank. Member FDIC.
Face it, you don't want to do your own plumbing and heating work or repair. You need a professional, and that is exactly what you will get if you work with Rapp Plumbing and Heating. Being fully licensed, bonded, and insured, you can rest assured that they will take care of your repairs and maintenance in the very best way possible. Call Rapp Plumbing and Heating at 429-1196 and rest easy knowing it'll be done right. This is Dan Rapp with Rapp Plumbing and Heating. And as we like to say, if you find a leak, let me take a peek.
Hi, this is Jill and Colton Bates with the Best Real Estate Team. It is hard to believe it is already May, but Sunday, May 12th is a day not to forget. To all you wonderful, incredible, hardworking, loving women out there, on behalf of the Best Real Estate Team, we would like to wish you the most amazing Mother's Day weekend. Whatever is amazing to you, whether it's going and doing something fun or just relaxing and a day without laundry, groceries, and cleaning up after people, make it great.
That's right, and a happy Mother's Day to you, Mom, and to all the moms that do so much for all of us. On behalf of the Best Real Estate Team, happy Mother's Day to all.
Proudly brokered by eXp.
This is the Captain with Captain Clean. Are you noticing unnecessary dust in your home? If so, your ductwork may be telling you it's time for a cleaning. HVAC and furnace cleaning will undoubtedly optimize your furnace's performance and keep your indoor air quality free of unnecessary dust and allergens. If you like clean air and lower energy bills, call our experts at Captain Clean today and schedule your next HVAC cleaning. Captain Clean, affordable choices for healthy living.
Are you ready, Wyoming? 40, yes, 40 of the top PRCA bull riders and some seriously rank bulls will be in Buffalo, Wyoming, Saturday, May 18th at the Johnson County Fairgrounds, competing to qualify for the NFR. It's going to be a night with a ton of high energy and an after party at the Cowboy Saloon. Get your tickets online now at foreverwest.events or at the gate. For updates, like us on Facebook at Forever West Productions. Extreme Bulls, sponsored in part by Sheridan Media.
Sports. They're pretty cool. I like them a lot. In fact, I like them so much that I have a podcast about them. This is James Timberlake with the Weekend Sports Wrap Podcast. And every week we go through the top news stories of basketball, football, baseball, and everything else in between. And sometimes we'll ponder something different, like the first person to drink cow's milk. How'd that go? What was that conversation like with his peers? But we mainly talk about sports on the Weekend Sports Wrap Podcast, posted every week on SheridanMedia.com or wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. For our second part this morning, I am joined by the Assistant Director of Science Kids, Molly Kinsey. And sticking with us, the Sheridan Community Land Trust Director of Marketing and Development, Mr. Chris Verba. Good morning and welcome to the show, Molly.
Thank you. I'm glad I'm here.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Oh, well, I'm recently retired as an elementary educator for SCSD2 and realized that I missed the kids more than I thought I would. And so I was the board chairman for Science Kids, and they needed an assistant director, so I stepped up to the plate.
Well, and we thank you for doing so. How many years were you an educator?
23.
That's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. And I loved every minute of it.
Was that one of those... Was science one of your favorite subjects to teach?
It is, oddly. I mean, I was an elementary teacher, but yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, I mean, kids being able to see, like, the reactions and the biology of the world around them and to watch that little light go on, I mean, it just warms my heart.
And I think that kids are just hardwired to be curious, and science is all about curiosity.
When I was in my... low-level biology class in college, yeah. We would go camping, and I would love to take, like, the group of kids, and we'd walk around and see what we could find and talk about lichens and fungus and all kinds of stuff like that. And they actually really were interested in that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because, like you said, it's just like the natural curiosity of kids. And that's why I love Science Kids. And so you were a board member beforehand.
Right. I was the board chair for 2 years.
And what was that like to be the board chair of such an amazing education program?
It was inspiring. And I must say that Julie Reeder, our ED, is the crux of that. But yeah, it just felt good. It felt good to be doing something that I knew was good for the community, as kids as well as adults. Now, it's our world, and we need to know more about it.
Absolutely. And that's the best time to start. Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
The little sponges ready to soak up any information. Now, for those who may not know, we've had a lot of folks move into the area. What is Science Kids?
Well, we're just a little nonprofit here in Sheridan. And we started clear back in 2009, which I find unbelievable. It has grown and grown and grown and grown. And our mission is to get kids outdoors where great science learning happens.
Which I think is fantastic. It's not just kind of a class. It's a class that takes them to the science.
Correct.
Which I think is great. Kind of like going out and camping. Now,
better than camping.
Yes, because you come out of it with more than just the experience.
Yeah.
How did you get involved with Unplugged and the Discovery Sessions? How did this partnership form, Chris?
Well, that predates all of us here.
Does it?
So, yeah, that's former Sarah Mentok, who was the founder of Science Kids, and then I believe it was probably Colin Betzler, who was the former executive director of Sheridan Community Land Trust, got together and began putting together a series. And that summer series has been a number of different things over the course of time. It was like a festival-ish. One time it was like a picnic on the pathway or something or another like that, where it was like a one night type of activity. And now it has become a annual series of really fun learning moments, and the common through thread going through them, is that the idea is we're going to unplug you from your screen, from your computer, from your TV, from your phone, whatever it is, and bring you out into the outdoors and give you an opportunity to have fun while you're learning. What are meaningful educational moments? You know, sometimes that's learning about birds, other times that's fish, insects, plants. It really just kind of depends. Bats as well, of course, which is an I'm a fish guy, and our And our bat walk is my favorite on
Paul. Oh, is it?
Yeah, no, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you can't beat the experience of being able to see the bat before you actually see the bat come in right over your head, which is a fantastic experience. Plus, I mean, come on, how awesome is it to just stay up a little late and go out and have fun outside? Yeah. Like, I grew up in Iowa, so we did that by going out and catching lightning bugs, right? We don't have that out here, but we do have an awesome unplug where we can go out and look for bats, and that's pretty dang awesome.
Tell me about that, the bat walk.
Well, we partner with the UW Biodiversity Department, and so they come up, and I can't remember the gal's name, but oh my goodness, she is the bat expert.
The bat queen.
Yeah, and she has her little machine that, like you said, we can hear them before we see them, and we just wander through South Park and look at bats and learn all about them. It's amazing.
It's Mason Lee is her name, and she's been doing this for us for a couple of years now. And she is an ambassador, if you want to put it that way. But she's absolutely incredible, super knowledgeable about how important the bats are. And what gets really neat about that program is after we learn about why these bats are so important to our environment here and to our communities and, you know, hopefully help keeping them dang mosquito numbers down, you have this listening device that, so this is the ironic piece, right? Like we're going to plug something in at an unplug, but it's certainly to further
our science.
Exactly. It's for science. But we're going to plug that listening device in into an iPad. And then as we walk along the pathway down there in the South Park Natural Area, that listening device, of course, is listening for the bat calls.
Yeah.
And so what you'll see happen is all of a sudden that listening device will make a noise at you and you'll see a graph go across where you see the call. And often it will identify the species of bat. And, like, almost instantly after that comes across, you look up and whoosh, that bat comes down. But now, they don't make that kind of sound when they go whoosh. You just see it.
Yeah.
But the South Park area is phenomenal for bat activity. But you know what? That one's coming up in July. It's on the 16th. So that one's still a little ways away. The good news is, Molly, we have another unplugged program coming up here in just a couple of weeks.
Birds on the Move, right?
Indeed. And that's going to be with Dr. Julie Reeder. She's also, like I said, our executive director, and she is an aficionado of all things birds. And so you're going to head out to Bridges and Mount Big Goose and wander through the countryside and discover what species are out there, how we identify birds. You want to add anything else to that, Chris?
Yeah, so this program's actually going to be one of the first programs out at the new SCLT office complex.
Oh, fantastic.
So that's located at 14 Lane Lane. No, you didn't hear me repeat that twice. It's our actual street. It's called Lane Lane. For those who aren't familiar with it, it would be the Bridges West Complex or the old NSI Academy that if you take Louks west out of town, like you're going to Becton. If you're familiar with where the lacrosse teams now play, that would be us as well. That's also where Science Kids is at.
Oh, fantastic.
And if you aren't familiar with any of that, if you've ever seen that football field that's just out on the far edge of town, like just seems a little like, what the heck is this doing out here? Well, that's us too. So go ahead and come on out. We have signs that'll help point you to the directions. And what we're going to do is that this property out there is just absolutely gorgeous. So in addition to having Big Goose Creek rolling by through, and by the way, it's a beautiful little stream, and we've already found some cool things in there. More on that later. It's also full of wildlife. And so you have like this habitat, like wetlandy habitat, like old stream oxbows, and what in the science community we would call riparian area, which is just simply the land around a body of water. And that, of course, is really important habitat for
absolutely vital.
Many different birds. We also have meadows and upland habitat as well back in the pasture, and then also along some of our rangeland behind us. So you have this wide sweep of different places that many different types of birds can live and utilize. Some of them are nesting. Some of them are just merely passing through, right? So we found owl pellets all over out there. That's pretty neat. We may have an opportunity to see some owls. You never know if they're going to come out during the day or not. Normally, they're nocturnal. Man, I hear sandhill cranes right now all the time. Once we get to May 22nd, hopefully we'll still have some kicking around. There are some massive turkeys out there. Of course, there's a lot of Canada geese, as well as I see mallard ducks and I see other ducks that, well, quite frankly, I'm not a bird guy, so I just don't know what they are. And oh man, are there a lot of little brown birds. But, you know, that's why we bring Julie in, because Julie is absolutely passionate about birds. I like to say she's avid about all things avies.
True.
And she's going to lead us on a fantastic nature walk through this property where we're birding. So come on out. It's at the SCLT office on Wednesday, May 22nd, and it's from 5 to 6 p.m. If you have a spotting scope or binoculars, bring those. Certainly dress for weather. We'll have some scopes that you can use, too. We have all the information for that on our website. You can go ahead and sign up there. It is free to attend. And while we are talking about science, kids, it is important to note that this is free fun for all ages.
Correct.
2 to 102. And if you're 103, go ahead and come out too. And we aren't going to turn anyone under two away unless they come out there on their own volition.
Yeah.
And at that point, we just might have to have a conversation of how did you get out here? Anyway, that's at SheridanCLT.org. So go ahead and head there.
And Chris, I want to add one more thing about the unplugs. Science Kids leads you to think that what we do is just for kids. But this partnership with the Land Trust is, like he said, 2 to 102, maybe 103. Come. No matter how old you are and whether or not you know anything about birds, you'll leave in awe. And again, we've got Science Kids has many, many, many pairs of binoculars. So there's no need for you to shy away because you don't have binoculars or you don't know anything about birds. This is the time to learn about them with Dr. Reeder.
We had our first Terrans at home back at the end of April, and we had about 50 people out at South Park looking at the rookery that moved again. And everybody was able to get binoculars. What's really cool about these unplug activities in particular is more than many different programs that may be out there, this is an opportunity for families to come together and really enjoy time and make meaningful memories together. You know, that can be parents and grandparents along with the grandkids. Maybe it's grandkids and grandparents. Or maybe it's just an opportunity you haven't hung out with your mom or dad for a little while, or your aunt or uncle or whatever. Bring them on out. Come out, enjoy some time, or, you know, grab a friend. Or if you really want, since it is bird breeding season, maybe come on out to one of our unplugs for a date. We have herons at home and we'll be able to see them in the rookery coming up on Thursday, June 27th. So we also have mud bugs and fish on Tuesday, July 30th. And as we already intimated, we have our bat walk in a park on Tuesday, July 16th. There's more information on all of those on our website, SheridanCLT, like communitylandtrust.org. And Molly, I believe Science Kids is looking to finish filling a bus in Buffalo, right?
Yes. Not only are we trying to fill a bus in Buffalo, but we also, this is our second year of getting outdoor classes for kids ages 12 to 14, youth, I should say. And we still have some seats available on that bus, and we have scholarship dollars available. And the classes that we have are the fine art of birding, which we partner with Aaron Waddell and, again, Dr. Julie Reeder. And you learn about birds and their habitat and their sounds and birds. And then you head into the studio with Aaron Waddell and using professional real art skills or art supplies and things, then you create something with using your new knowledge you've learned about birds.
I think that's fantastic.
Yeah.
A way to kind of put that into an artistic ability.
Exactly. And with, and a lot of, most of our classes are taught by, not most if not all, are taught by people who are experts in their field. And I should qualify that. They are all experts in their field. And Aaron Waddell is certainly a well-known artist in the community. And then there is mineral miners and fossil finders, where you will dig down into the earth, and we partner with the Museum of Discovery at Sheridan College for that. And that it, we have some seats available on that. And then coupled with that is another class. You don't have to take mineral miners and fossil finders to do the second class, but they kind of mesh well together, is we'll take kids out to the dinosaur quarry that's south of Buffalo, and they'll actually dig for dinosaur bones.
Now, Molly, if I want to learn more about science kids or watch the educational series Nature Why, where do I need to go?
You go to science-kids.org.
Well, that's
and
fantastic.
And it's all there.
Molly, I want to thank you so much for taking time to come in and speak with us this morning. Chris, I want to thank you for setting this whole show up, brother. I greatly appreciate the effort that you put into this.
Well, thank you for having us. It's been a ton of fun. And man, look at all those programs. Can you dig that?
Very nice. All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
A busy summer tourism season? Be prepared for extra business with First Federal Bank and Trust Cash Management Solutions. Our local cash management experts will help you streamline your cash flow and minimize risk so you can focus on delivering exceptional service to your customers. Visit efirstfederal.bank to contact our cash management team today. Make this summer your best yet with the help of First Federal Bank and Trust, Sheridan's only mutual bank. Member FDIC.
During this time of construction, don't forget to support your downtown businesses. Hi, this is Cassandra Foster with VHJ Property Management. Even though some of the streets are being worked on, the sidewalks are open so you can still reach all of your favorite businesses. From restaurants to retail, pharmacy to real estate, your downtown is still available, even though parking may be a little inconvenient at times. Century 21 VHJ Realty and VHJ Property Management encourage you to support our downtown Main Street during construction.
Making time for appointments during regular business hours can be a challenge.
That's why this spring at Sheridan Memorial Hospital, we're expanding hours for outpatient imaging.
Whether you need an MRI, CT, X-ray, or mammogram, appointments will soon be available during extended evening hours and Saturday mornings.
As the needs of the community change, Sheridan Memorial Hospital will continue growing for you.
To learn more about the expanded hours for outpatient imaging, go to SheridanHospital.org or call 307-672-1045.
Good health. Everybody wants it. Not everybody's got it, but the Health Nut has it. An entire health food grocery store and gift shop. Organic salad bar, soup, sandwich, and smoothies counter to sit and have the most healthy lunch in town. An aisle after aisle of health-giving supplements. You want it. The Health Nut's got it. And everything else you need for a healthy life. The Health Nut in Sheridan's 5th Street Mall. So is the well you have the water well you wished you had? 307 Wildcat Well Service is a homegrown local well drilling company that knows everything about where your best water is and how to get it to you. So if you want a second well or just to make the well you got taste better and run stronger, 307 Wildcat Well Service is a local company with a local price. 307 Wildcat Well Service on Facebook, or look for their ad in the business directory under Water Wells in the Country Bounty.
Cool, clear water.
Every mom deserves a little pampering, so enter now for a chance to win a mother-daughter spa day at Rose Petal Boutique.
Or, if you're a son like me, you can be a golden child if you win this for your mom and sister.
So whether you're a mom needing a well-deserved break or a daughter or son looking to spoil your mom, this is your opportunity. Entering is easy. Just go to the contest page on SheridanMedia.com and look for the Rose Petal Boutique Mother-Daughter Spa Day contest and sign up. You can sign up one time each day, and the winner will be chosen May 9th.